Hi, this is Jeff in Sachse, Texas, and just like Bob, I'm a tactical guy, and I like a tactical podcast.
Jeff, wait a minute. That's practical guy and practical podcast.
Oh, never mind.
This podcast is part of the Self Defense Radio Network. Hi, folks. I'm Bob Main. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast, a practical show done by a practical guy. That's me, and I carry a gun because I cannot carry a cop. Well, this middle of the week episode, I'm talking about SIGs, Sig Sauer pistols. I recently had a chance to get together with a listener, which, hey, by the way, that doesn't happen very often. I don't get a chance to meet a lot of my listeners, so it's a real treat when I do. He was in San Antonio on business, and he said, Bob, let's get together when I'm done, and let's go shooting. And it's always hard for me to turn that down. Our plan was to shoot our SIGs that we own. As you know, I have a SIG P229 Legion series, which I am real impressed with. Really, really like that gun. Worth every dollar. SIG P229 Legion. And it's not just marketing ploy, the Legion series. There is some definite good upgrades compared to some of the other SIG pistols that you get. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in this upcoming interview. Jeff brought his SIG P320. I've been wanting to try a SIG P320 for a long time. So I got a chance to shoot that. And he also brought his SIG M11A1. I think that's what it is, the model number, the M11A1, something like that. Forgive me if I got that model number wrong, SIG, but that was also a very, very good pistol. I was very impressed with that. So, in just a few minutes, you're going to hear our review of those three SIG pistols. Please remember, this podcast is powered by the Self Defense Radio Network. That is the new network Paul Lathrop and I have just formed, the Self Defense Radio Network. We've got about 10 podcasts on it right now. We got some cool stuff for you, the listener, coming up. So if you are a listener to any of the podcasts on the Self Defense Radio Network, hold on. About a month or two, you're going to see some pretty cool things coming your way. Yes, for you. It's going to benefit you, the listener, not just the people who have podcasts on the radio, the Self Defense Radio Network. So with that said, here is Handgun World Podcast listener and one of my friends, Jeff, from North Texas, talking with me about our Sig Sauer pistols. Okay, my guest this episode happens to be a listener. Jeff from Sachse, Texas. He's also been a student in some of the classes that I've taught with Ben Branham. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bob. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we just got done shooting together. You know, it's not very often I get the chance to shoot with my listeners. And he happened to be in San Antonio doing some business. And when he got done, he said, let's go shooting. I said, okay, so we're over at Lone Star Handgun just outside of San Antonio. We had a chance to shoot some SIGs, didn't we?
Yes, yes. And it was quite an interesting experience.
Well, I'll start with it. Jeff brought a SIG 320. And this, you know, I had dry fired a SIG 320 before this at Sparks Firearms because Ben was letting me dry fire one over at the shop. But this is the first time I got to fire one. And I think I shot about 50 rounds through it. And I really liked the gun. I really liked it. How long have you owned it?
A little over a year. And Bob, you shot it with the subcompact frame on it, and I just put that on a couple of months ago. I've been trying that to move it to as a carry option because I like that smaller grip frame on that.
I shot it with both. I shot the regular compact frame, and I shot the subcompact frame, and I really like it. You know, here's what I liked about. I'll talk about the likes and the things I don't like. What I like is the feel of the gun. The feel of the SIG is very nice. It's just like a Glock 19. It feels the same. In other words, that compact size, that seems to balance well for me. And I also like the trigger. That is a good double action trigger. It has a nice reset. For people know, I like to have a nice crisp and reset that I can feel. And that does. It's good. And it breaks nicely. I had no problem. I had no problem hitting steel at 10 and 20 yards. And I mean, these were not really super big pieces of steel, but I was hitting it regularly at those distances. So it's a real comfortable gun in my hand. What do you notice about it?
Well, let me ask you this. On that trigger pull, what do you think the pull weight was on that guess?
Good question. I would say the trigger pull on it is slightly over 5 pounds.
Okay, yeah, it's about 6 pounds, maybe a little bit more. So, but that the action on it is so crisp and so clean that you don't really notice that. And this one has the Apex trigger on it, and I put that on because I'd fallen in love with flat triggers on my ARs, and I wanted to try this. Doesn't change the pound weight, but you know the stock trigger is awesome. But I would have to say, putting the Apex trigger, it's awesomer.
Awesomer. That's right. That's what we just came up with a new word, right?
Yeah,
awesomer?
That's good. That's good.
My sister, who's an English teacher, thank God, is not listening to this podcast. But now, let's be clear. Your Apex trigger is just the trigger face.
Just the trigger, yeah. That's no springs or trigger arms or anything. It's just a one little piece of...
You put the Apex flat trigger on, and I really like that. I really like that.
And it's about a 10-minute installation.
It makes it different. It does make the trigger press feel different than the stock trigger. It's almost like I got more leverage on the trigger face.
Yeah, because you can, if you press the trigger up high or low, it's the same because of that flat on there. So it doesn't, you almost can't make a mistake on that. On a curved trigger, if you're up high, you're not going to get a good pull. If you get one at all.
Well, that's true. Or if you're too low, you're going to cause problems with your shooting as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and you'll drag your finger on the trigger guard or something.
Yeah. The ergonomics of that 320 is very nice. Again, I like the fact that it's the same consistent trigger pull every time, or trigger press. Uh-huh. The sights on that gun, those are the factory sights, right?
The factory, just the three-dot sights.
The three-dot sights.
You can get it with the night sights, but... With everything I've gotten through the classes, I if I'm shooting at night, I'm not looking through sights anyway. I'm point shooting. So but most of the time I shoot it's day, and those big dots on them SIG sights are just like on your Legion. Those big sights are just so easy to see.
Oh yeah. Now the bore axis is a little bit higher than what I'm used to, versus shooting a Glock or an M&P. But I didn't notice it too much. Even with my 229 Legion, I haven't really noticed that much. With your 320, I didn't. With other SIGs, I have, though. So I wonder what it is about the 320 that kind of took that objection away for me.
I can only speculate that it would be a combination probably of the grip angle, the recoil spring, and the weight of the slide.
It's about the same weight as a Glock 19, maybe a couple of ounces more.
About 2 ounces, I think, yeah.
Same capacity, 15 in the mag, mm-hmm. one in the chamber.
Yes.
I was just very impressed with it. The magazine release button is well done on that.
Yes.
I can reach the magazine release button without altering my grip on the pistol. That's important for me.
And in a thumbs forward, you're not easy to hit it.
Right. And also, the way that they have designed the slide release on the 320, it's very similar to the slide release on my 229 Legion. Mm-hmm. It's very small, and I don't accidentally press it when I'm shooting under recoil. It doesn't accidentally, I don't press it with my thumb.
Right. Yeah, and now the newer, one thing on the newer model SIGs is on the takedown pin, they make a narrow one, and so it's even, it's even a little bit narrower than mine. I think that change happened this year. Although the takedown pin, just the width of it doesn't bother me at all. I don't notice it. It was never an issue with me.
And what I thought was really cool is right there at the range, right at the shooting stall, you switched from the compact to the subcompact frame in like 5 minutes.
Well, that's because I'm slow and a little bit clumsy. If you practice, you could probably do it in a minute or two. And then we put it right back to the subcompact because I'm going to carry it on the way back home. It's really good. So you can change. When with SIG with this, you can change caliber. So with this trigger group, you can get a conversion kit, go to 357 SIG or 40 caliber. Now, wanted to promote it that you could do 45 caliber. That didn't work. You have to get they're not compatible to the 45 because it's a wider frame and everything. But so you have the option of doing three calibers on the gun. You can go full size, carry size, compact size, and subcompact.
Yeah, and all with basically kind of like the same trigger components and same internals.
Yes, yes, and it's real easy to pop in and out.
Yeah.
The thing about that is the serialized part is the trigger group. Everything else you can buy. If you buy anything else, it's just like parts.
You don't have to go through your FFL to buy the different grip module.
Yeah, right. Because if you buy a conversion kit, you're going to get a slide, recoil spring, barrel, and grip. And the only thing that you got to do is pop the trigger group.
I was making very nice hits with the 320. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you saw it or not, but I shot your 320, one magazine, and then I pulled up my Glock 19, and I was comparing the hits, and it was about the same. I had just as many hits with the SIG as I did with my beloved G19.
Yeah, well, first time shooting a gun, that's your handicap. So I'll be honest with you. I'm not surprised, okay? Because I'm so impressed with the 320. It's a fantastic gun.
And the true test, I really believe the true test of whether a gun works for you is shooting it one-handed. Shooting it one-handed with your right hand and one-handed with your left hand. If you can make hits at reasonable distances, reasonable self-defense distances, one-handed, then that's the gun for you. And it was working for me very well.
Yeah, and I'll vouch for you. You did hit the target one-handed. So and pretty consistent, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So, yeah, that did work, yeah.
Okay, so now you had a chance to shoot my 229 Legion series. What did you think?
Okay, if it's not in your range bag when you get home, don't call me, okay? I'd actually been thinking, because I had the M11A1, I wanted to get another SIG, and I was thinking of getting the 229 and the... When I started hearing you talking about the your Legion, I was paying attention to your updates on it. After having shoot it, yeah, I think I'm gonna move in that direction to get that Legion. The two things that I really liked about it, one over the M11A1 was with the grip. It's a little, especially where the thumbs are. By the decocker, it's a lot thinner and it's a lot more comfortable for thumbs forward shooting. And then the double action trigger is like it's a little bit easier to shoot, and I think with a little practice, I could warm up to that one really quick. The components, the slide lock and everything being a little bit smaller makes it a little more compact and all. And the grip was a little different, but I liked it on it. And like you, I was shooting and I was getting on target real quick with it. So so with that and the M11A1, I don't have to buy a bunch of mags. They all shoot the same magazines, but I can have two different guns that, even though there's some similarities on that.
You made a comment to me towards the end of our shooting when you were shooting my 229 Legion that you were able to get back on target pretty easily with your follow-up shots.
Yeah, yeah. And I was doing that with using the single action, the double action as much as possible. But, I wasn't exactly sure the range rules, but I was pushing that 1 second per round as close as I could, and I was it just got on target real quick, And so I where I could shoot it, if I could have one and shoot it where I can shoot rapid fire, I would like to try that, because I think it would be easy and fun.
Yeah, it would be. What do you think of the trigger job that comes out of SIG's factory on that compared to your M11?
It's noticeably different. I didn't think you could make the M11 trigger any better. But it's especially on that double action. The single action was very close. I'm not even...
About the same.
Yeah, I don't think even you really noticed that. But that's a short reset trigger. Yeah. And you know, that in combination, you know, with a good sight picture, that helps you get... that gets you that second shot so much faster.
Well, it gets you the second shot a lot faster. And, you know, I did an experiment today with my Legion that I've never done yet. I loaded up a magazine, and every round that I fired, I would decock it so that every round was double action.
Yeah, I saw you doing that.
And I wanted to see, there was a piece of steel out there at 15 yards.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to see how many hits I could make in an entire magazine shooting every shot double action, 12 out of 15.
Yeah, there was a lot of ringing going on in that. Yeah, that's good. I don't think I could do that with my M11A1. And even though it's got better than 1,500 rounds through it, and it's smoother than it was, I don't know, just probably a couple pounds difference. And I'd have to measure that, but it was very noticeable.
Yeah. Now, let's see, what else did you shoot today that you liked?
Your revolver.
Oh, yeah. I got a new revolver. I got a Smith & Wesson 642 Performance Center. What did you think of that?
That was neat. That's a very, very light gun. You know, even with and something like that on a 38 Special is snappy. But I was surprised, as light as it was, the recoil was extremely manageable. And, you know, since it's... Is that a hammer?
It's a hammerless revolver.
Okay, and but I mean, for concealability, as light as it is, you can stick that in your pocket or something. That would be really good. I've never really thought of revolvers as a pocket gun, but I could see that one. And it's light, very manageable recoil control on that. The sights are pretty good. I mean, it's a revolver sight, you know, but
it's a stubby revolver.
Yeah, you know, but I hit steel, so I mean, I could say that was good too, you know.
I have to be technically correct. It actually has a hammer. It's an internal hammer that's not exposed.
Oh,
so it's common to call it a hammerless revolver, but it's really not.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So you liked it.
I did, yeah. And I'm not really much of a revolver guy.
I'm not much of a revolver guy either. I just bought it because it looked cool. You know, it's like it's got fancy grips. It's from the Performance Center, the Smith & Wesson Performance Center, the 642.
Yeah, you definitely want to post a picture of that on your Facebook or something, because the grips are really, they high-class grips on that.
But. Yeah. It's not something that you want to go, as I've always said with snub-nose revolvers, this is not something you want to go and take a 600-round class with it.
No.
Because, first of all, it would be, if your hands could survive it, it would be irritating for you to have to reload after every five rounds.
Right,
but
yeah.
It's definitely something you want to practice with if you carry this type of gun.
Exactly, yeah. Or a good backup gun.
Good pocket backup. Well, Jeff, thanks a lot. We were mainly talking SIGs here. And, you know, my very first handgun was a SIG 226.
Yeah.
A SIG 226 with a stainless slide, 9mm. That was the first one, and then I got into the Glock thing, and then the 1911 thing for a while, and now back to Glocks. But I'm really impressed with the SIG 229 Legion that I own and your 320.
Yes, and I've liked SIGs for a while. I've just got into them within the last 2 years, and just nuts over them. And you know, if I'm becoming a fanboy, so be it. But you know, Bobby, honestly, I don't think there's a gun out there that I don't like. I mean, I could talk about 1911s, Glocks, you name them. I could.
Yeah.
I just like talking guns all the time. But if you narrow me down, then we probably can limit it to a day or two of discussion on one brand. But you forced me to less than that. But I could do it.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks.
Thanks for coming on.
Well, yeah, it's getting tough out there. Yeah, no doubt. I work in home invasions, mostly. Some murder, occasional rape, and I'm a huge advocate of gun control. Absolutely. Competition is stiff, and it doesn't help that every time I kick in a door or smash a window, that I face the possibility of being shot and killed. Listen, the fact is, allowing citizens to own guns creates a hostile work environment for me and my associates. No one should have to work under those conditions. I say make them all illegal. Absolutely. Make all gun ownership illegal. I mean, I break the law for a living. I'm a professional, so it doesn't really bother me. I mean, but personally, knowing that most homeowners don't have guns, that would make me a lot more comfortable, more confident, and it would surely increase productivity. No doubt. This is no doubt.
Your local violent criminals work hard and put their lives on the line every time they attempt to murder, rape, abduct, or assault a member of the citizenry. They desperately need your help. With your support, there may finally come a day when a violent criminal can have his way with you or someone you love without the fear, anxiety, and stress caused by knowing there's a possibility his victim might be armed. Please show your support by voting for stronger anti-gun legislation, because criminals prefer unarmed citizens.
All right, many thanks to Jeff. I appreciate him letting me shoot his guns and donating his time for the podcast. You know, regarding the SIG P320, I understand that you can get it with or without safeties. I understand, I guess, that SIG is making a version of the pistol. For people who want all those safeties, that I just can't understand why people want those. I guess they make it with a thumb safety and a mag disconnect safety and blah, blah, blah. Make sure that you order the version of the SIG 320 that is just a regular striker-fired pistol without all of those safeties. And I think if you do, you'll probably be pretty happy with it. The trigger does not have much take-up. It breaks cleanly. It's got an excellent reset. I think the modularity of it is real good. And like I mentioned before, about the only negative I can think of is the high bore axis. And, you know, somehow SIG builds that pistol and my P229, you know, where that's not too much of a factor. On the Polymer Pistol 320, the higher bore axis didn't seem to throw my shooting off any. You know, I'm used to shooting polymer-framed pistols, and so that was kind of natural for me to just pick it up and shoot it. So I hope you enjoyed this brief interview. Thanks again for listening, folks. Please remember, you can support my show by making your Amazon purchases using my Amazon store affiliate link. Go to handgunworld.com, go to the Amazon store page and follow that link, and you can support my show without spending any extra money. Pretty cool, huh? And remember the Shooters Club? We've got over 60 videos up on the Shooters Club. So for only $8 a month or $75 a year, you can watch all of the excellent videos and terrific audio podcasts that Ben Branham and I have put together on concealed carry, how to become a better shooter with both handguns, rifles, and we even have a few shotgun videos there as well. The voicemail number, if you want to call in a voicemail and react or opine to any of this, is 210-646-1727. That's area code 210-646-1727. I'd love to hear from you. Ben Branham and I have put together our 2017 training class schedule that we're teaching. It's almost completely finished, but I can tell you for sure we are going to places like Salt Lake City, Utah, Western Washington, out in Squim at Fort Discovery again, Ohio with Paul Carlson of the Safety Solutions Academy, maybe up to Illinois, and then, of course, Dallas and Houston. So please be checking our websites, handgunworld.com or modernselfprotection.com, for those classes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Remember, the loudest sound a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.